everyone. This is our episode for Thursday, April 9th, 2020. We hope you're staying healthy and safe, and that you've been able to shelter in place. But for many, that's not an option. And the challenge in St. Louis and elsewhere is how to curb the spread of coronavirus among people who are unhoused, while also making sure their needs are being met. This virus has highlighted how interconnected our country is, and sadly, how the same inequities in St. Louis are found in towns across the U.S. That's why on this episode, we're partnering with our public radio friends at America Amplified. They've pulled together a new collaborative of more than 50 stations around the country to do some deep listening and report back what they hear. Together, we'll explore how the spread of the coronavirus is affecting those who are unhoused in St. Louis and beyond.
People who are without housing are already in a state of crisis anyway.
I'm terrified. I'm out of masks currently.
Health issues make you more at risk for experiencing homelessness, but then being homeless, of course, makes you more at risk for health issues.
I'm Jalian Yang, and from St. Louis Public Radio and PRX, this is We Live Here. On any given night, about 1,500 people in St. Louis City and County experience homelessness. That's according to the latest estimate from the National Alliance to End Homelessness. And Kathy Daniels, or Mama Cat, has made it her mission in life to help meet their needs.
This coronavirus is a monster, and it doesn't care who it takes out. Your socioeconomic status don't matter, your race don't matter, your gender don't matter, and so our unhoused family have no protection. They have nowhere to go.
Every day, Mama Cat and the rest of the all-volunteer group called the Pot Bangers prepare meals for people who are unhoused.
I've been on these streets in St. Louis for 5.5 years, and it's been my fight for 5.5 years. These problems is not new. Now the scabs is coming off of the sore, and it's not a pretty sight.
And she's had to make sudden changes to the way she normally operates.
What we do is we bag up the food. It only could be a couple of us in the building at a time, and people line up outside. You know, social distance, right? Stay in your car, and then when your number's up, you come and get your bag. And that's, the way we've been serving the village.
But for many members of her unhoused family, a trip to Ferguson for food isn't an option.
Usually on a Thursday night, we have what we call a caravan of love, where we go out and we interact with our unhoused family. We take meals and we take clothes and shoes. And, it's always love and it's hugs.
But as coronavirus cases continue to climb, she began to worry that dropping off food and essential supplies as a group was no longer the best thing to do. And this week, Mama Cat and the Pot Bangers made the difficult decision to discontinue their Thursday night caravan of love.
They don't have the basic necessities that all of us take for granted. And so, yes, I'm very concerned.
Mama Cat says some of the work is being done by individual volunteers in their own vehicles or through community partners that coordinate drop-offs and distribution in no-contact ways. And they continue to attend to the needs of those who are unhoused, whether that's coordinating food delivery with community partners or finding food for unhoused families staying in hotels.
We just believe that we must love and support every person that walks this earth.
There are people like Mama Cat in cities and towns across the nation. They rally volunteers to make sure the basic needs of unhoused people are being met. Yet, what was by any measure already difficult work has been made even harder in recent weeks. Meanwhile, people who are unhoused are facing a scary new reality, and the CDC has urged shelters to open backup facilities in churches, for example, to manage overcrowding and keep safer distance between people.
I'm feeling just about as apprehensive as most people are these days.
TJ Johnson is a shelter resident in San Francisco, where he's been unhoused since 2011. He spoke to America Amplified producer Andrea Tudhope about trying to stay safe as coronavirus sweeps through California.
Counties around the Bay Area have been under a shelter-in-place order for weeks.
There's no indoors to go to. There are unsheltered people, you know, have to stay outside, like, you know, just by the nature of their circumstances.
San Francisco has contracted with local hotels, offering a few thousand rooms for those in the city's most vulnerable populations, not necessarily the unhoused, but that's just for those who have tested positive for COVID-19 or are showing symptoms. TJ says he's seen open hours expanding for a lot of emergency shelters to 24 hours a day, so people don't have to leave as often, and he's noticed more cleaning in common areas, at least at the shelter where he stays, through the city's Coalition on Homelessness.
And that's kind of an advantage which I myself and like other shelter clients, you know, would have over somebody who is like unsheltered. We have like a place where, you know, we could stay indoors. At least we have like, you know, access to sinks and soap, to hygiene facilities. But when you're living outside, those things are rather hard to come by.
But along with those advantages come concerns. TJ says his shelter is crowded. Most are under normal circumstances. This makes the recommended distancing really difficult.
There are usually either like, you know, several people like sleeping on the same space, whether it's like, you know, spread out through individual beds or sometimes in bunk beds. It's, well, it does worry me that we are in like, you know, such close quarters. You know, let me put it this way. It's quite easy to catch a cold, like, you know, living in such an environment. So I am like, you know, definitely worried that I might be able to catch something worse.
TJ is a reporter and editor for The Street Sheet, a paper published by the Coalition on Homelessness, focused on homelessness and poverty, written by and for people experiencing these conditions. He's actually been a contributor since 2001, 10 years before he lost his job and soon after lost his home. That's when he says he entered the master class in homelessness.
People who are kind of like experiencing poverty and homelessness, those are the people that the Coalition believes are the true experts. And we kind of like go to like our community just to basically, you know, feel things out, get the pulse of the situation.
That effort certainly hasn't stopped. Outreach is a big part of the gig, and TJ's been doing a lot of it, making sure folks in encampments and on the streets especially know about the virus and the resources available to them and their rights.
I think what's been making this experience for me a tad easier is the social connections that I've had through the Coalition and other advocacy organizations.
Early on, California was identified as a hotspot for the coronavirus, but the Midwest isn't far behind. And just like in our town, shelters across Middle America are filling up fast. With that in mind, we wanted to share some additional reporting from America Amplified. It comes from Anna Caroline Caruso of Side Effects Public Media. She takes us to a day center in Indiana for women and children in need, where staff are trying to keep themselves safe while also meeting their clients' needs.
It's lunchtime at St. Margaret's House in South Bend, Indiana. On the menu, barbecue pulled pork sandwiches and baked beans.
There is pie in here.
Women walk past tables set up outside with fruit, pretzel bread, and even whole pies. They're supposed to point to what they want and not touch the food. Some have a hard time remembering that new rule.
And then we ask not for you to touch, but it is.
You're okay.
St. Margaret's House provides meals to women and children struggling with poverty. Before the COVID-19 outbreak, people would gather inside to eat. Now, food is served takeout style to avoid spreading the virus.
I'm terrified. I'm out of masks currently.
That's Teresa Anderson, one of the women here for a meal. She has a compromised immune system.
I've decided not to buy a two-week bus pass they usually buy, and I'm not supposed to be doing certain things, but I am walking to and from St. Margaret's.
Anderson and roughly 60 other women still come each day to get a hot meal. About a quarter of them have no stable housing. Executive Director Kathy Schneider recognizes the challenges everyone faces, but says people struggling with poverty and homelessness face those challenges tenfold.
When they say to quarantine, shelter in place, they have no place to shelter. And that's the problem.
Schneider is right. To slow the spread of COVID-19, health officials recommend staying at home and social distancing. But that's not possible for everyone.
We have this mobile group of people who could become infected anytime, and they're kind of moving together. And so that makes them very vulnerable. A lot of those people have underlying health issues already. For them, catching this virus is very dangerous.
Sarah Krager of the University of Notre Dame has researched the public health implications of homelessness.
If you're sleeping in a different place every night, if you don't have access to clean water or fresh food, it's just going to exacerbate these underlying health issues. And I think that, you know, with the coronavirus epidemic, one of the biggest challenges is that homeless people don't have regular access to a place where they can wash their hands. And typically what they do make use of are restaurants or grocery stores or libraries, and a lot of these locations have closed to the general public.
As the crisis escalates, St. Margaret's wants to stay open to help. Kitchen manager Samantha Peck says food should be the last thing someone needs to worry about.
At this time, nutrition is so important. Like, getting a good meal in could boost somebody's immune system just that little bit extra.
Schneider agrees, but recognizes that the virus could change things.
If one of us comes down with this, I'm sure we'll all have to self-quarantine. But as long as we can stay healthy, we're going to try to keep our doors open.
That was reporter Anna Caroline Caruso in South Bend, Indiana. We spent the first part of the show zooming in on the challenges facing people who are unhoused. For the rest of the show, we're going to zoom all the way out. There are a little more than 500,000 people experiencing homelessness across the country. That's according to the most recent point-in-time count by the Department of Housing and Urban Development. To get the big picture of why this pandemic poses an especially great threat to people who are unhoused and what cities can do, we'll once again hear from Andrea Tudhope of America Amplified.
Bobby Watts runs the Nashville, Tennessee-based National Healthcare for the Homeless Council. The nonprofit represents the interests of more than 200 homeless healthcare programs, social service, and housing agencies across the country. He underscores a point we've touched on earlier in the show, that people experiencing homelessness are especially vulnerable to the coronavirus.
People experiencing homelessness are one more likely to be exposed to the virus, but their immune system is weaker because of sleep deprivation, chronic stress, plus people experiencing homelessness have a higher rate of having other underlying complications, higher rates of diabetes, of hypertension, of substance use disorder, all which weaken the immune system. So they're more likely to be exposed, and when exposed, more likely to have that develop into a disease because their immune system is not as strong as the average person's to be able to fight it off. So that's why I say that homeless people are more at risk than they are a risk to the general population. The general population with a relatively healthy immune system, many people will be exposed but not develop the disease, not develop symptoms. That will not be true for the homeless population to the same extent.
Bobby says what can often be overlooked in the headlines is the ripple effect of shelter-in-place orders on people who are unhoused.
Restaurants are shutting down. So a regular source of food, getting leftovers from restaurants, going to soup kitchens is taken away. All of that adds to the tremendous stress and worry, and it exacerbates the trauma, the daily trauma of homelessness. And if someone has underlying mental health issues, then yes, it's going to exacerbate that tremendously. Even just hearing about the virus without knowing what you can do about it because you don't have access to running water is extremely stressful. So our providers, healthcare for the homeless providers, are reporting much higher levels of stress and it's taking a toll on those with underlying mental health issues. One thing that's really important to understand is that many people experiencing homelessness work, but they work in low-income jobs, service jobs, disproportionately, sometimes off the books. And those jobs are now vanished by and large because of the restaurants have to close. Construction is not going on as much. And this is going to have an impact on people who are just holding on, even though they were homeless and trying to get a foothold out of it. This is going to make it harder to escape. It is also going to push more people into homelessness for the very same reason.
Many cities are taking big steps to try and control the spread of the disease among their most vulnerable residents. Philadelphia has taken to housing patients in a Holiday Inn. That's after city officials cleared an encampment downtown, despite CDC warnings that could disperse the community and spread the virus. And officials in Las Vegas turned a parking lot into a so-called shelter, with sleeping spaces painted on the pavement. That came after a shelter resident tested positive and the facility had to shut down.
This is uncharted territory, so everyone is learning from each other and figuring it out. Some cities are further advanced than others. New York City has, which has an extensive shelter system, and including some shelters designed for medically frail people, has identified and secured 500 beds for people experiencing homelessness that are so that they can be isolated or quarantined. So every city is responding differently, and I'm really pleased that with the HUD and CDC guidance that cities are much further along today than they were 2 weeks ago.
Bobby says the coronavirus hasn't necessarily created more cracks for people to slip through, but the sudden and extreme pressure of the outbreak has made them wider.
What this really points out is the inherent inequity in how we have been addressing healthcare and housing in this country. Unlike other developed nations, we don't view healthcare and housing as human rights, so we don't have universal healthcare, and we don't provide affordable housing to those that need it. So the result is, whenever a system is under stress, the most vulnerable people are those that are the neediest, but also the most likely to be left out. So if we reach the time, and I'm understanding New York City, we may almost already be there, where they're talking about rationing and sharing ventilators and other things, we have to make those choices of who gets it and who doesn't. I'm very concerned that those who are poorer will be left out and will not be as highly valued or treated equally or equitably in the healthcare system.
Bobby warns us that failing to provide unhoused people with adequate access to shelter and healthcare will undermine efforts to flatten the curve. And he says the nation's response to the needs of the unhoused during the pandemic boils down to answering some basic moral questions.
What kind of society do we want to raise our children in? Do we really want to care for our neighbor? Do we really want to meet their needs? Do we want to treat our neighbor the same way that we would want to be treated?
Thank you to Andrea Tudhope and Anna Caroline Caruso of America Amplified for reporting and gathering stories for this episode. If you want to learn more about this new public media initiative, go to AmericaAmplified.org. We Live Here is produced by me, Jalian Yang, and my co-producer, Lauren Brown. This show is overseen by Tim Lloyd, senior producer of On Demand and Content Partnerships, and Robert Peterson, director of radio programming and operations at St. Louis Public Radio. From St. Louis Public Radio and PRX, this is We Live Here.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.